Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. President Bush will sign the Civil Rights Act of 1991 today, but he's dropped plans to announce a phase-out of racial quotas and preferences in federal hiring. More from Randall Pinkston.
With controversy raging over a proposal to change federal civil rights policy, White House Press Secretary Marlon Fitzwater said this morning the statement is being changed. The directive had been prepared by the White House Counsel's Office for release when President Bush signs the civil rights bill later today. It would have ordered federal agencies to review and eliminate all rules based on racial and sexual preferences. But Fitzwater insists the president supports civil rights and affirmative action programs and will not sign anything that suggests the contrary. Fitzwater described the original statement as a draft and said initial reports misinterpreted what the president intended. After a debate within the White House, Fitzwater said the statement is being redrafted. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, the White House.
The United States is determined to halt North Korea's nuclear weapons program, and today in Seoul, Defense Secretary Cheney put pressure on Pyongyang with a partial freeze on U.S. troop withdrawal plans.
The United States has no intention of withdrawing from Korea as long as we are wanted and as long as there is a threat to peace and stability on the peninsula.
This is John McClain in Seoul. After talks with his South Korean counterpart, Cheney launched a scathing verbal attack on North Korea, accusing it of aggression, terrorism, and irresponsibility, and of refusing to renounce the use of force to reunite the two Koreas.
These factors make the prospect of a North Korea with nuclear weapons, particularly with missile delivery systems, the most serious threat to peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula and indeed in East Asia.
Cheney's response is to halt further cuts in American forces in South Korea until the alleged danger of the North developing nuclear weapons has been dealt with. John McClain for CBS News, Seoul.
Freed American hostage Thomas Sutherland will not fly home today from Wiesbaden after all. Doctors there say he's suffering from a small stomach ulcer. Well-informed Israeli officials are saying the Mossad still believes Ahmed Jibril's Syrian-backed Palestinian group was involved in the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. This despite the U.S. indictment of two Libyans. More from Lawrence Rifkin.
The fingers here are still pointing at the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine General Command. Investigators had linked the PFLPGC to the radio tape player thought to have contained the explosives that brought down the jet. An Israel state television report said the U.S. has now admitted to Israel that the PFLPGC had indeed been involved, along with Libya. The PFLPGC is based in Damascus, and intelligence experts here say the group can do little without Syria knowing about it. And this has led to some grumbling here that the U.S. is anxious to keep Syria in the peace process begun late last month in Madrid by keeping it out of the Lockerbie limelight. Lawrence Rifkin, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The New York Times reports the U.S. is nearing agreement with Iran on settling Tehran's $275 million claim for undelivered U.S. military equipment. Iran said today it will release 400 Iraqi prisoners of war. The world's richest nations have worked out an aid plan for the former Soviet Union. Jonathan Sanders has that in Moscow.
Desperate to scrape together a plan to deal with their foreign debt, leaders from eight republics today cobbled together an agreement with representatives of the West's most successful industrial powers. The West dropped its insistence that the republics place much of the ex-Soviet Union's gold reserves in Western hands as collateral for new loans and debt refinancing. The seven capitalist countries agreed to defer $3.6 billion in loan payments. They granted a $1 billion loan to the eight republics to help refinance outstanding international debts. Republican spokesmen said that they hoped the agreement would give them a breathing period during which they can reform their scattered economies. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
And Russian Federation President Boris Yeltsin is visiting Germany in search of economic help. Hundreds of people are being buried today in mass graves in the fallen Croatian stronghold of Vukovar. And as Pierre Vickery reports, efforts are underway to aid the living.
An early morning agreement between representatives of the Croatian and Serbian-led armies concerning hospital patients evacuated from Vukovar is due to be implemented shortly. They're to be transferred from the hospital in Serbia, where they were evacuated against their will yesterday, and handed over to European community monitors at the border of the neutral Yugoslav Republic of Bosnia. Negotiations are continuing to secure the well-being of a further 60 patients too sick to be transferred from Vukovar. A doctor at the hospital described conditions as desperate, saying patients were sleeping on the basement floor without water or electricity. Pierre Vickery for CBS News, Zagreb.
In colonial times, people who offended the community were publicly humiliated by being forced to spend a few hours with their head and arms locked in the village stock. Yesterday, California's senior senator, Alan Cranston, endured the media age equivalent as colleagues rebuked him for taking nearly $1 million from and doing favors for Lincoln Savings Chief Charles Keating. Rob Armstrong has more.
A severe reprimand was the strongest action the Ethics Committee could take itself without a vote of the full Senate. Ethics Chairman Howell Heflin.
Senator Cranston engaged in an impermissible pattern of conduct in which fundraising and official activities were substantially linked in connection with Mr. Keating and Lincoln.
Cranston accepted the reprimand, but then went on for 16 pages to decry the process and the result.
Since I have been singled out for a reprimand on access today, who among you can be sure you will not be singled out for a reprimand on access tomorrow?
Cranston's statement drew a furious reaction from the Ethics Committee's ranking Republican, Warren Rudman.
The senator from California to rise and give a speech on this floor and blame it on campaign financing. Everybody does it. And you should all be in fear of your lives from the Ethics Committee as poppycock.
Cranston, who suffers from prostate cancer, has announced that he will not seek re-election when his term expires next year. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
At a $1,000 a plate campaign fundraiser in Washington last night, Vice Dan Quayle took a few shots at the season's most prominent non-candidate.
Someone the other night said Mario Cuomo is decisive. He finally decided to pick VHS over Beta. If the comedians like me, they're going to love Mario Cuomo.
Nothing funny about the latest economic report. It shows 39,000 more people filed unemployment claims in the week ending November 9th. A study in today's New England Journal of Medicine finds an underused pneumonia vaccine is 60% effective in warding off the infection. Dr. Eugene Shapiro of Yale says physicians have been unduly skeptical about the vaccine.
We believe that this vaccine should be used more widely. If it is used more widely, it can save many lives and prevent many patients from developing serious infections that require hospitalization.
Pneumonia kills about 40,000 Americans a year. Houston Rockets basketball star Hakeem Olajuwon was hospitalized last night after suffering heart palpitations. A team spokesman says the 7-foot center will undergo tests and miss tonight's game. Overseas, the dollar is higher. London gold is up $1.10. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 7.16. Time on the roundup, 10 past 7.